Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Sunday, February 13th, special edition of Wing TV, and you're watching with me, Lisa Giuliani.
And Victor Thorne, as he said, a special Sunday edition. We have as a guest Mr. Michael Rivero from WhatReallyHappened.com. But first, a couple quick announcements. We'd like to thank our local newspaper, the Center Daily Times. They ran a recent letter to the editor that I wrote a few weeks ago. It's called Story Showed, War is Reality. We'd like to thank them for that. Mm-hmm. Also, we want to remind everyone that tonight, Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, we're going to appear on the Rick Stanley radio show.
Yep, Standing Up for America. I'll have that information on at the end of the show.
And you can go to stanley2002.org, and that'll direct you over to his radio show. Also, some people have been asking us lately about flyers. They want to start putting flyers up in their neighborhood or start handing them out. So if you go to the Wing TV homepage, click onto the link that has this cover, 9/11 on Trial, you'll see a link there that has flyer. And this is what we did. It's something very simplistic, but it's people can get the word out with that too. And if someone wants to make us one that looks better, because our expertise is very limited when it comes to that kind of stuff, they're more than welcome to do so. So, moving right along, we'd like to introduce Mr. Michael Rivero. As I said, he's the host of WhatReallyHappened.com and also the author of several books. So, Michael, welcome to Wing TV.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Real quickly, why don't you tell everyone how they can find your website and also tell them about any books that are out or that you have coming out in the near future.
Okay, there is one book which is in progress right now, and I keep waiting for a happy ending to happen to finish it up, so it's been slightly delayed, and that is called Cyber Soldiers and Silicon Patriots, and it will be published by Dandelion Books.
Okay.
The website, of course, is called WhatReallyHappened.com, and it's a site where people can just go, and mostly there's a little bit of original articles there. There are a lot of links to other stories in the world, which are basically brought in and juxtaposed with some commentary and usually contrasted with information from U.S. government sources. And the purpose of the website, it is a nonpartisan site. I'm not pushing any one particular party, but its goal is to basically hold up to examination statements made by governments and business that are less than 100% honest and accurate as a way of educating the American people to perhaps develop a more critical and skeptical eye toward what they are being told, in their daily lives.
We're all for that.
Yeah, and I also accessed that for my book, 9/11 on Trial, so I'd like to thank you for that. Now, since I mentioned that book, and it's been out for a little over a week now, and a lot of people have been talking about it, and then even in our daily lives, we tell a lot of people about this book, and when they read it, they finally come to a conclusion that our government, they realize that our government not only attacked its own citizens, but killed its own citizens, and they also realize that our government has done this in the past. So, Michael, what are we dealing with in terms of our governmental leadership over the past century?
Well, we're dealing with government-created terror and fear used to manufacture consent for an agenda, and there is nothing new with this. Such tactics go back even to Roman times, when Marcus Licinius Crassus used the threat of Spartacus rebellion to extract for himself extra legal powers that were not allowed under Roman rule, and basically inaugurated the age of the godlike emperors. So there is nothing new in this. What is new is that the population, the general population of the world, because of the Internet, is becoming aware that governments do play these kind of dirty tricks on their own people in order to manufacture support for a war. And the reason for it actually goes back to another book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, which said that when one nation wants to inaugurate a war against another, it must create the illusion of a moral rightness or a moral law, or they will not be able to get their own people to go along with it.
Yeah. Michael, my next question has two parts. First of all, considering that no WMDs were found in Iraq, and we were supposed to believe they had them, How much credibility does Bush have when he's talking about attacking Iran based on their nuclear capabilities? And also, the second part is Iran intent on launching an oil trading market that could potentially threaten Western domination of the oil market? And is this why we're attacking them, maybe?
The first part of the question is, obviously we are all now looking back on the realization that there were never weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and more to the point, everybody who had been saying that there were no such weapons, including Scott Ritter, were absolutely accurate, yet Bush persisted on this war on the basis of that claim. So we now know that the war in Iraq was illegal under not only international law, but under United States law, because the congressional authorization for force that Bush had for Iraq specifically stated that he had to have proof that Iraq was violating UN resolution regarding the weapons of mass destruction and was somehow connected to 9-1-1. Bush claimed to have such proof. Obviously, he didn't.
Right.
But Bush lied to the Congress to get the war going. That right there constitutes a high crime and a misdemeanor.
What about Iran's intention to establish an oil trade market? Doesn't that threaten the U.S. and the U.K. as far as the world domination of this oil market?
Well, what is really the threat to the United States is the fact that this new proposed oil market in Iran is going to base their transactions on the euro, which the United States has been politically, reinforcing the idea that the dollar is the international oil currency, and because of that need for dollars to buy oil is why other nations have been willing to float along our trade deficit for so long. One of the things Iraq was getting ready to do just before the U.S. invaded was change from the dollar to the euro as their oil currency of choice. This new oil market in Iran, if they get started and they go with the euro, support for the dollar internationally is going to collapse.
Exactly. Now, when we look at 9/11, there's many, many subjects discussed on the Internet, but there seems to be one in many circles that's still verboten or forbidden, and that's the nation of Israel. Now, we know that there is a video of the dancing Israelis on top of the office building right when the towers were struck, and we also know through Fox's Carl Cameron about this Israeli spy ring, and many other sources, of course, too. What do people need to know about Israel's role in 9/11?
Well, the issue is that Israel has a long history of what are called false flag operations, which are Israel will go in and attack a target, then leave evidence to frame somebody else. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest was, of course, the bombing of the King David Hotel, which was carried out by Israeli agents in Arab clothing. Then there was the Levant affair, where Israeli agents were blowing up U.S. and British assets in Egypt and leaving evidence to frame Arabs. That one was exposed only because one of the bombs detonated prematurely and the Israeli spies were actually caught. There are a lot of people who view the attack on the USS Liberty by Israel as having been intended to sink the ship and leave evidence framing Egypt for the attack,
which
would have dragged America into the war against Egypt. And because of this past history, we have to look at the Mossad agents who were arrested on 9/11 acting like they had this tremendous victory, cheering and dancing as the towers collapsed. And then the subsequent revelation that there was this huge Israeli spy ring inside the United States at the time, and look at the possibility that we've got another false flag operation here, which has tricked the U.S. into declaring war on Israel's target nations.
A few days ago, Michael Chasadovsky came out with an article about the tsunami of December 26th, and in it he says that U.S. seismic and satellite systems were fully operational. So my question to you is, why didn't this information get out to the people? It could have saved tens of thousands of lives. And do you foresee any development of this real estate now that they've gotten the people out of there?
Well, I do know that there were indications of the quake and tsunami, and what we're hearing officially is that the mechanisms weren't set up to make a phone call. I'm having a real problem with that.
Yeah.
The information and warnings could have gotten out. Somebody just decided that we weren't going to pick up the phone. As far as developing the real estate, obviously with the current owners no longer there, there are going to be opportunists who will exploit the situation and go in and attempt to pick up the pieces and start developing that area. So it's a very sad tragedy for the people who were living there. And on top of what they've already suffered, now they're going to see basically major changes to their local economies and their lifestyles.
Now, Michael, we may disagree on this next question, so I'm going to ask you, it's a three-parter. The first two are just a real quick yes or no. It's about the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, do you think Flight 77 hit the Pentagon?
Yes.
Okay. Second question, do you think the government wants the American public to think that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon?
Yes.
Okay, here is the important part, and we could debate this for days, really. So I don't want to get into a debate about whether it did or it didn't. I just want to ask you a question that no one has yet been able to ask or answer for me, is that if the government wants us to think that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon, they first said that the plane was vaporized. Then, secondly, they changed their story and said all of the debris is in a hangar. They also confiscated videotapes from the Citgo gas station, from the Sheraton, and there were numerous cameras around the Pentagon that videotaped it. So why doesn't the government just open up the doors to this hangar, show us the wreckage, and why don't they just come out with these videos of Flight 77 supposedly hitting the Pentagon, and they could put the whole matter to rest?
Well, I think the government very much does not want this matter to go to rest, because I think this suggestion that there wasn't really a plane hitting the Pentagon is being intentionally fanned as a means of attempting to discredit people who are questioning legitimately whether we're being told the truth on the official story. And again, this is a very old tactic. It's called poisoning the well. They even did it, the government did it back during Jim Garrison's trial of Clay Shaw and the JFK assassination, where they planted a witness in his case who waited until he was in front of the jury to say that he fingerprinted his daughter every night to make sure nobody could plant a substitution on him. And, of course, that one witness made Garrison's whole trial look ridiculous, and that's why Clay Shaw was acquitted.
Yeah, well,
now, in the current situation, this idea that there wasn't really a plane at the Pentagon, we saw it just recently in the Popular Mechanics article. It is always the first thing that anybody who wants to ridicule the questioners of the official story will go to. Is those silly people don't even think the plane was really at the Pentagon. But for those who are really looking into the arguments about that, I have just one simple question. If the government wanted people to think Flight 77 went into the Pentagon, and if they have to get rid of Flight 77 and all of its passengers anyway, why not go ahead and run into the Pentagon?
Why don't they just show us then the evidence? Why don't they? Because I'm holding a picture up right now that was taken just minutes after the Pentagon was struck. There's very little smoke there. The lawn is pristine. There's no airplane anywhere to be seen, and there's also this one taken aerially minutes after. There's no airplane anywhere to be seen. Why doesn't the government just put it all to rest? Because I don't think they want us. I don't think they want this to get so out of control that they have to prove it. You know. And why don't they just show us? Why don't they?
Well, I think the more out of control it gets is better for U.S. government propaganda. Because as I said, it can be pointed to as an indicator that, to use to ridicule those who question the official story.
Yeah, I'll have to disagree with you on that one.
Well, that's okay. That's what the First Amendment is all about.
Right. The Jeff Gannon story is an example of how this administration plants individuals within the press pool under the guise of journalism. So let me ask you, to what extent do you think the mainstream news is being framed, manipulated, distorted, or created by our government?
I think it's very extensive, and again, this is nothing new. If you go out on the web and use a search engine for something called Operation Mockingbird, mm-hmm. you will discover that the U.S. government has been slowly moving to control the mainstream media since the end of World War II. And quite a few people highly placed in the mainstream media usually have connections to the Central Intelligence Agency. And on top of that, of course, you have corporate interests that are always seeking to manipulate the media. And I can think of no better example than the Fox News case regarding the bovine growth hormone that was being added to milk, which had some serious health consequences for people who consumed the dairy products. There were these two Fox News reporters who did the story reporting the health consequences. Monsanto went to Fox News and pressured them by threatening to withhold advertising funds. Fox News told the reporters to change the story. The reporters refused and were fired. They sued Fox News and ultimately lost when the courts ruled that there is no law requiring the mainstream media to
yes.
tell the public the truth about anything.
We remember that one.
Yeah.
Now, one of the most fascinating stories on your site is about the black boxes. There's a man, a New York City firefighter named Nicholas DeMasi, who said that on his ATV, they'd found three of the four black boxes from the World Trade Center tower from the planes that hit them. This was supported by volunteer fireman Mike Malone, I think his name is. And my question is, where are these black boxes? What happened to them, and why hasn't this received more coverage?
Well, I think the question has been raised, what was really going on with those airplanes as they were coming on in. And you have to remember, the black boxes not only record the mechanical state of the aircraft, there are also microphones inside
right.
the airplane which would record conversations in the cockpit. And if those conversations don't match the story that we've been told, if we hear something completely different, then obviously the story we have been given about this being Osama bin Laden and everything is going to fall apart. So
exactly.
There's a motive to hide the boxes right there, is to prevent any records from the actual flights from becoming public.
Right.
I'm sure you're aware of the recent poll of high school students where a third of them think that the First Amendment goes too far, and the poll also indicates a shrinking respect for freedoms of speech, press, and assembly. So my question is, given that this is the video game generation, what do you foresee happening to America as they come of age during the war on terror?
Well, I'm going to have to back up and tell you that I have grave doubts about that poll, because we have seen so many skewed and biased polls, and I think a lot of the polling that we're seeing right now is not designed to manufacture public reaction to policy, but intended to not to measure public reaction to public policy, but to actually manufacture it. And if the mainstream media puts up a poll saying two-thirds of Americans support restricting freedom of speech, then a lot of Americans are going to nod their heads and say, well, I guess if everybody else thinks so, then I should go along too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more, because we don't believe any of these polls. We don't even know if they take these polls. It's just a conditioning tool. Now, in your upcoming book, you talk about how the Internet is breaking the monopoly of information flow. Yet, if we still look at official sources, if they say something isn't so, at least officially it isn't, at least according to them. A perfect example is the assassination of John Kennedy, where if you turn on the news to Dan Rather, he's still going to say the lone nut assassin was Lee Harvey Oswald. And they say, well, this is a story and nothing else matters, regardless of the Internet. So how can we break through even more so through these walls to get this information out and also accepted?
Well, I think we've actually already done that, because fewer and fewer people are watching the mainstream media. And the mainstream media, it all comes down to whether you're going to believe what they're saying or not. And
right.
More and more Americans are really turning away from that. They're all looking at the fact of the lies about the weapons of mass destruction. They've seen the recent announcements by the mainstream media saying it's not really their job to question and examine what the government is saying. Therefore, expressing doubts about the weapons of mass destruction was not really their job, which, of course, a lot of people disagree with. And if you look at the readership increases on websites such as yours and mine versus the decline in total viewership of the network news, you'll see that already we're seeing a tremendous shift away from the TV media and to the Internet. And the government can stand there and make all the proclamations it wants, but if nobody actually is listening or believing, then it really doesn't matter anymore.
That's a good point.
The word freedoms become justification for the United States to invade and occupy other countries that didn't attack us, pose no threat to us. When Bush uses the word freedom, is he demeaning the concept every time he uses that word?
Yeah, I believe he is, and I believe it isn't really that he's demeaning the concept of freedom, it's just that everybody recognizes that's not what he's really talking about. And again, I don't really get a sense that a lot of people are even bothering to tune him in anymore, simply because it doesn't matter what he says. What they're doing is watching to see what he does. And now, as you pointed out earlier in today's show, he's getting ready to go into Iran. He's saying weapons of mass destruction all over again. We've been down this road before. We know it's a lie. We know there will be no proof. Iran is trying to build a civilian power reactor. There is zero evidence that they're doing anything other than building a civilian power reactor. But the real issue is, of course, control of the Mideast oil and the economy, and to continue to force the world to pay for oil in dollars to prop up the bankrupt U.S. economy.
And as one of our earlier guests said last week, it's going to be a bloodbath if it does happen. Now, we all know about this famous 7-minute video of George Bush sitting in the classroom in Booker Elementary School. And you compare it on your site, or you have an article that compares it to a Sherlock Holmes story where the police end up knowing who the criminal was because whoever entered the house, the dog didn't bark.
Yes.
On the morning of September 11th, the dog didn't bark, did it?
No, it didn't. A lot of people commented on the fact that George Bush was just sitting there after being told by Andy Card about the second plane impact at the World Trade Towers. And even Bush himself stated in several speeches after that it was at that moment when Andy Card told him that he realized the country was under attack.
Uh-huh.
But he continued to sit there. We've seen the footage replayed over and over in Fahrenheit 9-1-1. Bush's supporters continue to insist that he was just trying very hard not to upset the children. Well, that's a very weak excuse, but if you take one step back and you realize the United States Secret Service was standing around him, and they've got one job and one job only, and that is to protect him. So with an unknown number of airplanes flying over the United States and crashing into buildings, an airport only 4 miles away from Booker Elementary School, and Bush's presence at the school, you know, reported in the mainstream media three days before, how did the Secret Service know it was okay to just let him sit there?
Exactly.
He's got an armored limousine outside. At the very least, they should move Bush away from the school, because if there was a plane coming in to get him, then he is making targets of all those children around him just by sitting there. But somehow the Secret Service knew that Bush was not in any danger, that he was not a target, and the only way they could know that is they already knew what the targets were going to be.
Right.
The Kennedy family has been the target of political assassination more than once, both times surrounded by controversy and cover-up. Are we being lied to about the JFK Jr.?
I believe we're being lied to about JFK Jr., and we're also being lied to about the Ted Kennedy incident at the Chappaquiddick Bridge. I have family on Martha's Vineyard, and so there's some direct information there that he was being chased and was run off the road at the time. That may have been a third assassination attempt right there.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Now, before I ask my last question, Michael, give everyone your website address one last time.
Okay, the website is whatreallyhappened.com.
And it's a great site. And as I said, I reference that quite a number of times for this book, 9/11 on Trial. One of the last, one of the best things on your site is the airport videos. We're supposed to believe that there are these 19 hijackers, yet no one has ever seen the videos from the ticket counter. They haven't seen it from the checkpoints. They haven't seen it from the boarding gates. Where are the videos showing these 19 hijackers actually going through the system and getting on these planes?
There appear to be no such videos, and as a matter of fact, Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, has stated repeatedly in speeches there is actually no evidence at all that the named hijack suspects were actually on those airplanes at the time.
Yeah, we were talking about that this week with Webster Tarpley and David Ray Griffin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV on this Sunday afternoon.
We appreciate it very much.
You did great.
Well, thank you for having me.
We love your website,
we do.
We go to it all the time, so keep up the great work, and keep in touch with us when your book comes out. Mm-hmm. Send us a copy, okay? We'll hold it up in front of the camera.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Have
Michael.
A good one.
And since this is a Sunday edition of Wing TV, we won't be back again until Tuesday. So in the interim, have a happy Valentine's Day.
Yep, and tune in tomorrow night. I believe it's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, 7 Mountain.
No, that's tonight.
Oh, it's tonight. Rick Stanley Show, Standing Up for America. What is it? Stanley2002.org.
Right. And we'll be back on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye. Keep your eyes open.